Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Just forgive my croaky throat. I hope I survive this. It's Easter. It's a significant date in our Christian calendar. Along with Christmas, it forms a major part of our beliefs as Christians. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And at Easter, we remember the crucifixion of Jesus, and we celebrate his resurrection 3 days later. But Easter's also a period of mixed and sometimes conflicting emotions. I don't know about you. We have the 40 days of Lent, a time of preparation and reflection and sometimes sacrifice. Some of us have given up things or withheld things from ourselves the last 40 days. And we lead up to today, we call Good Friday. It's a somber day that we remember Jesus on the cross. And then we wake up on Sunday, jubilant as we celebrate Jesus risen from the dead, an empty tomb, and if you're lucky, some Easter eggs hiding around the house or garden. What's particularly complex or difficult for us to fathom today, Good Friday, is all that happened nearly 2,000 years ago, the death of Jesus on a cross, the reasons why he died, the way in which he died. I've never been able to bring myself to watch the crucifixion story in those movies or those videos. I find them too upsetting. And it's hard for us to understand some of the specific details of those events. We've got four gospel counts that give us the details, but they weren't all written on the day as it happened, like our 24/7 news coverage does these days. In Matthew's gospel, it says one thing, and in Luke's, Mark's, or John, it says another thing. And it's not that the gospels are in conflict with each other. It's just that they're written by different people, some time after Jesus' death, and probably by gathering stories and recollections from eyewitnesses. One particular part of the crucifixion story that's difficult to understand is, why did God abandon Jesus on the cross? Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus is nailed to the cross. He's been through everything we know leading up to this point. He's in agony, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had previously prayed to God to take the cup away from him in Luke 22, a cup we know as the upcoming cup of suffering that Jesus was to drink from. It was a cup that Jesus knew his whole purpose of his humanly life was to bear the sin of the whole world as a final sacrifice so that we, you and me, and everyone out there can be saved. Jesus was scared of what lay ahead for him. And if Jesus asked God to help him to take away that impending suffering and death, why did God not answer his prayer? Why did God forsake Jesus on the cross? At the most painful moment, God wasn't there. God didn't say a word. The only signs we know of in that afternoon just before Jesus died was that a darkness covered the land. It was a physical darkness that Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel report. People saw it, people felt it. We know it wasn't a solar eclipse because it was the time of the Passover and the moon doesn't align with the sun at that time. Some Bible scholars suggest it was God turning the sky dark because of the gravity of the world's sin converging on his son, that God had to turn his face away. Yet Jesus is hanging in pain on a cross and sees the sky turn dark and feels absolutely abandoned by God. A darkness, no answer to prayer, and silence from God. It's difficult for us to understand. We have a faith that says we enter into a relationship with God like a child with their father. We're taught to pray and taught to talk to God and ask God for help and guidance and healing and forgiveness. We read our Bibles to hear from God through Scripture. We praise and worship God through our prayers and songs, and we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Yet here, at Jesus' darkest hour, God is silent. What does this mean for us? What we see from Jesus is that he didn't give up or protest, demanding to be taken down from the cross or begging for his life to be taken quickly. He remained obedient to the end, even when the sky turned dark and he felt the total absence of God's presence and intervention. His whole life he'd known this was his mission, even from the gifts brought to him at his birth, myrrh being a resin or an oil used for embalming bodies. Jesus saw through his mission, even in the desperate moment of being abandoned by God. Might this be a big commitment that's too big for us? In London, above Westminster Abbey's Great West Door, stands 10 statues to modern martyrs, Christians who've given up their lives for their beliefs. It was unveiled in 1998, and among these are the great Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Christian writer that opposed the Nazi regime, Ashley regularly cites him. He was killed by the Nazis in 1945. And also perhaps some lesser-known martyrs drawn from every continent across the world and many Christian denominations, and they represent those that have been oppressed or persecuted for their faith in the 20th century. How did these brave people feel when in their deepest struggles they called out to God and there was no answer? Thankfully, not everyone is called to be a martyr or is going to die for their faith. But what we can learn from these people is their commitment and their unwavering belief in God right to the end of their lives. So maybe when we are afraid or in a dark place, when our lives don't seem to be going to plan, or we can't seem to hear God's voice, it's more important than ever to anchor ourselves in the absolute truth that God loves us dearly. Jesus, at his darkest point, cried out to my God. He didn't give up calling to God, and neither should we. There are many passages in the Bible that can help us understand this absence of God at times in our lives. We learn that God doesn't always remove us from those situations. He didn't take this cup of suffering from Jesus. There's loads of verses in the Psalms. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 13. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 23 talks about walking through the darkest valleys. We won't be afraid because God is close beside us. His rod and staff comfort us. Those times of silence are hard. And then there's the whole book of Job, a whole book in the Bible of a man who endured terrible suffering and repeatedly asked God to help him and save him from his troubles. Eventually, God speaks to Job at the very end of the story, where God reveals his greatness to him, the creator of life and everything in it. And God blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning, Job 42. And he died an old man who lived a long, good life. When I first came to the UK from South Africa nearly 30 years ago, I used to have to save up my £1 coins and once a month go to the end of the road and phone my parents at an agreed time on a Sunday afternoon. We'd have a very jilted conversation, very laggy with copper wires going under the Atlantic Ocean or whatever it was. And we'd exchange news and sentiments very quickly, all the while dropping pound coins in every 30 seconds. It cost me a fortune. And in the next few weeks, I'd save up all my pound coins, knowing that I could phone them in 4 weeks' time, and I'd save up my bits of news, and I'd wait until that Sunday, not hearing a thing from my parents. And as a young 20-something-year-old, it was a tough time, those 4 intervening weeks. Sometimes we'd repeat news that we'd sent on those little aerogram letters. Do you remember those, if you ever sent those? they were tough months, and I didn't like being disconnected from my family in that way. I would eagerly await for that next phone call. It's not nice being disconnected from your loved ones, and it's not nice feeling disconnected from God. we should continue to call on God and eagerly wait for him to answer. We shouldn't be tempted to give up or lower our expectations to protect our hearts from disappointment. We need to keep that balance between a faith that can move mountains and a patience that we wait for God. Jesus' prayer life gives us some pointers to help us get through these silent times. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked Peter, James, and John, his three closest friends, to support him in prayer. Jesus told him that his heart was crushed with grief to the point of death, and he asked them to stay with him and watch him. And Mark chapter 14 tells us, we know these disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. We're all human. But perhaps that should provoke us to think about who we can ask to join us in our prayer and support us in our struggle when we feel far from God. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a direct quote from Psalm 22, which articulates then the next few verses, the desolation of God's silence and the awful emptiness of feeling abandoned when Jesus needed him most. This psalm reassures us that we aren't alone in our suffering. It's acceptable for us to ask those hard questions of God. Where are you, God? And it reminds us that Jesus understands our pain. In quoting from this psalm, Jesus will know the ending of that psalm. It's a psalm of David that lists a long catalogue of suffering, but it ends with God's vindication and God establishing his kingdom. In verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. Psalm 22 ends in verse 31, where it says, his righteous acts will be told to those yet unborn. They will hear about everything he has done. And when Jesus said his last words, it is finished. It's as if he's bookending Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? From verse 1. And in verse 31, they will hear about everything that God has done because it is finished. That means there will be an end to any time of suffering and desolation that we face. There will be times when you feel far from God, even abandoned by God through suffering or loss or pain, or just a period of aimlessly wandering and waiting for answers. But there will come a time when it will be finished, and you can look forward to the new day that God has made. As we look forward to this Sunday after today, to a day that we know Jesus rose from the dead in final victory. Amen.